44, Psalm 144 this morning. I want to encourage you not to forget about, we know we're not passing around an offering plate, but the offering plate's in the back on your way out, and there's hand sanitizer and mask always available if you so desire those. Psalm 144, want to preach a message this morning entitled this, My Happy Sermon. Isn't that a good title? All right, My Happy Sermon. On July the 5th, after our, of course, we had our summer explosion that night in our fellowship, and I preached a message that night, and afterwards, we all went out there to the back, and a visitor, a young lady, walked up to me, and she said this, quote, "You need to preach easier. Your preaching didn't leave me happy." I appreciate all critique, and then this past week, I had a really good friend sit with me and said, boy, last few Sunday morning services have been, he used the word, spirited messages, right? We've been talking about how, of course, God is to get the glory in the church, and the beauty of the church is holiness, but today, the Lord's led, I'm going to preach today on my happy sermon. Isn't that good? So, smile. Right. Every time I say happy, you should smile. Right. So happy. Ah, some of you didn't. All right. That's the one good part. You know, if you have the mask on, you know, I can't tell. So I'm gonna admit something. I told my wife the other day we were walking out of Myers. I said, "So I want to ask you something. Have you stuck your tongue out at anyone behind your mask?" She's like, "No. Have you?" I was like, "Oh yeah. I have, man. All right? I'm just telling you." The other day, I was in Kroger's, and this person, like, just went in front of me and looked at me like I was doing something wrong, and I stuck my tongue out at her. I did, all right? No one saw it but me. You say, well, God saw it. He knows she deserved it. So it was good, all right? So, amen. All right, anyways, all right? So let's sit back and see what the Lord says, because, you know, we're going to have a happy sermon. Yeah. Smiling. Amen. All right. So we'll sit back and see what the Lord wants. Why would we say that? Look at Psalm 144. All right. Let's read the whole chapter, then you'll see where we're going. All right. But it says in verse number 1, blessed, and I appreciate the special just now, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Psalm 144, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them, shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivered David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full according affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see what the Bible says about being happy today. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to understand, to have our hearts open to this. And God, I just pray you'd use the message for your honor and glory. Lord, if there be anyone here today that does not know they're going to heaven, may they listen today. Because real joy, real happiness, real satisfaction begins with a relationship with you. And I pray that, God, you'd show us that today, and, Lord, help us as believers today to learn the joy that you'd want us to have. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. So let's look at this today. I got quite a few points. We're going to go through this chapter, but I won't spend long on each point. We need, God wants us to be happy. Amen? Amen? You know, I went to the eye doctor yesterday, and, you know, I got my eyes checked because my wife told me, she goes, you know, a few times when you've read the Bible, you've used, you know, little, you know, she knows I use the right version, so that's a good thing, you know, but she's like, are your eyes okay? I was like, I don't know. I know I've been struggling, so I went. They told me when I was done today, or yesterday, they said, all right, you're going to have to get them. I was like, get what? He goes, well, we call them now progressive lenses. That made me feel better, you know. I was like, oh, okay. And so, yeah, I'm getting progressive lenses. He said, but, he said, you'll see a whole lot better, and I think you'll be happier. So I had to take his counsel because I knew what I was preaching today, so I guess I'll be happier. But in any case, all right, you know, the fact is God wants us to be happy. Now, I get, you know, joy and happiness and things, but God uses in his word the word happy here. He wants us to have this understanding. Well, how do we want to be happy? How can we be happy? Let's face it, we live in a world that isn't happy. Right. If you don't believe me, turn on the news, all right? No one's happy. People are angry. People are mad. People are bitter. People don't smile. People don't have a song. People don't whistle. They don't just, you know, have a tune. They're angry. They're mad. They're sad. Which is natural for people that don't know the Lord. But we that are saved, God wants us to have joy. I promise you, because one of his prayers for us is that his joy would remain in us. So God wants us, so we should be a people that is different than the world. And when they see us, they see we're happy. So if you go out today and you go somewhere and you're around people, whether at a restaurant or gas station or something, and they know you went to church, they ought to see also that you got a joy in your heart. Amen. Don't be mean. Don't be a Scrooge. If you leave a tip, leave a good one. Amen. All right, I'm just trying to help you, all right? Be happy. How can I be happy? Look at it real quick. We're going to have a happy. Keep smiling. Every time I say happy, you got to smile, all right? I'm just kidding. You don't have to. All right, but here we go. How can we be happy? Number one, in verse number one, look at it with me. If you're going to be happy, number one, you have to learn his ways. You have to learn his ways. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. If you're going to be happy today, you got to learn. Now again, what does that verse have to do with anything? Our last verse we read, happy is that people that is in such a case. Well, what case? This chapter. Y'all follow me? Shake your heads at least, all right? This case. Well, what is it? How is it? Happy is it? Do you want to be a happy people? Say amen. All right? You want to have a smile on your face. You want to have joy in your life. Well, number one, go back to verse number one. We have to learn his ways. He teaches our hands to war, my fingers to fight. Again, it's not talking about, you know, we need to go out there and pick fights with people. It's quite the opposite of the word God teaches. But understand, we're in a spiritual warfare. And we have to learn the ways of the Word of God. And if we're going to have happiness in our life and be a happy people in such a case, then we have to learn the ways of God. We have to learn what is right. We have to learn His direction. We're going to use a lot of different verses. Keep something right here. God, I want to back up each point with another scripture. Look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Then we'll go right back. But go quickly. Proverbs chapter number 3. Look with me in verse number 13 in Proverbs chapter number 3. We have to, number one, learn his ways. In Proverbs 3 and in verse number 13, says simply this, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now, how many of you want to be happy today? I hope you all do. I hope no one's sitting in the auditorium saying, I choose to be depressed. I choose to be sad. I choose to be miserable. Well, I promise you, God doesn't want you to be that way. God wants you to be happy today, but understand, you know, if you want to have his joy, you've got to learn his ways. You have to get wisdom from God. You have to get understanding from the Lord. We have to understand that there is a right way to live. We have to understand why we live that kind of life. And when we do, from Proverbs there, it will be a treasure to us. This book should be a treasure to you. Preaching should be a treasure to you. Listening to the Word of God should be a treasure to you. Your Sunday school teacher should be a treasure to you. All of these things are so important for us tonight, or today, to understand if we want to be happy. I taught my Sunday school class. We've been studying very intently on how to know the will of God. And we understood, we talked about three things last week, that God will use outward circumstances and the inward of what we've been taught, and then the upward, a relationship to the Spirit of God and the Scriptures to show us and guide us and direct us. But then we took a step back today and understand that that only works because the steps of a good man or order by the Lord. So it only works if we live a good life, a biblical life. And that is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It even says right there, this is the will of God, hold fast to that which is good. These things are good. He says that. Paul says it in the Scriptures. And so from verse 12 down to verse number 24 in 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm not going to teach that whole lesson, don't worry, but it gives you how to live the good life, the will of God day by day. You know what number one is? Verse number 12, in Sunday school class, they all, you know, we all had to kind of, this is it. But number one is this, listen to your pastors. They didn't amen either, right? But that's what it is. Brother Ben, can you bring up 1 Thessalonians 5:12? Because no one believes me, right? We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you, and the Lord admonish you. Verse 13, Brother Ben. The next verse, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now this is his list. The previous verses down to verse number 11 in 1 Thessalonians 5 is about the Lord's coming back. And we can comfort each other in this. And Paul finishes up this first epistle to the Thessalonians by saying, now knowing the Lord's coming back, here's how you ought to live. And the very first thing he said was to listen to your pastors. Now why did he say that? Was he teaching, you know, man worship? Not at all. The Bible forbids it. It's evil. Some kind of, you know, blindly follow the pastor. Wrong. The Bible's the authority. But what he is teaching here is this, that preacher that God has given to you, those pastors, those evangelists who the Ephesians says are gifts from God to you, when they are up there and teaching the Word of God, God has sent them to help you in your maturity and your admonishing and your perfecting, and you need to listen to them and to esteem them highly for their work's sake. Follow them. And I'm not here trying to pump up Travis Burke or Rick Salee or Steve Harris or any of the others, all right? What I am saying is this, and I looked at my Sunday school class and said this, who knew, right? That if you want to find God's will for your direction in life, whatever it may be, job, vocation, your spouse, that it number one thing on God's list was listen to your pastor. As long as he's in the book, follow. Now, why is that? Because there's joy, there's happiness when we learn his ways. And that's what a pastor's there for, to teach the Word of God and his ways. And if you want to be happy, you want to be happy? If you want to be happy, I just thought about our dog now. I know, do you want a piece of cheese? Oh, we have two dogs now. Did you know that? Alex got one. His name's Thor. It's the hairiest dog I've ever seen in my life. But Thor's smart, all right? But I've taught, we'll hold out a little piece of cheese, and I'll say, this one is for Scarlet. And Thor just sits there. And then I'll say, this one is for Thor. And Scarlet just sits there while Thor eats it. I'm really impressed by that. I was able to do that, all right? And they just totally obey, all right? And I'll say, do you want a piece of cheese? And they both are sitting there. They don't nod yes, but with their eyes, they're saying, yes, sir. They want it, all right? Do you want to be happy? I hope I only said that, not because you needed a dog story. They're locked in on me. Right. And oh, that I had your attention like that this morning. Because I want you to be happy. But you'll never have it if this doesn't become your life. Because go back to Psalm 144 and verse number 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Number one, if we're going to be happy, we have to learn his ways. Number two, if we're going to be happy, we have to learn to trust. In verse number two, Psalm 144, my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. If you're going to be happy today, you've got to learn to trust the Lord. In this one passage, we see that he'll be our goodness. He'll change your life. Amen? He'll change your life. Can I tell you something real quick? And this is just something for us to all to work on, right? I don't know if you ever thought about it, all right? If it wasn't for the Lord, you would have no goodness in your life. And the Word of God says here that he is our goodness. Everybody see that? That's not hard. I've not said anything weird. You're all staring at me like, what? Right? Amen? Without him, I'm nothing, and so are you. My heart is desperately wicked, and so is yours. He is our goodness, right? So be careful about saying all the time, oh my goodness. Because he is our goodness. That was totally preview. But he is that, amen? I just want you happy. Amen. I want you to be happy. He will change you. He is the goodness in our life. He's our fortress. He will protect you. It says that he's our high tower. He will keep you. It says he is my deliverer. He will deliver you. He is my shield. He'll shield you from all these things that are out there. Praise God for that. Learn to trust the Lord. No matter what you're going to, don't run to your thoughts first. Don't run to someone else's counsel first. You run to God. Happy is that people that is in such a case. When we understand that he is the one I can trust. You can trust him a whole lot more than Oprah. You can trust him a whole lot more than Dr. Phil. You can trust him a whole lot more than Travis Burt. He is the one that you can trust in. He is the one who will never let you down. And when we are constantly running to him, there's happiness. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 20. Let's look at that verse real quick. Proverbs 16 and verse number 20. As time goes, Brother Ben, I may put you to the test today, all right? But Proverbs chapter number 16, and look at this verse in verse number 20. I want you to see it again in other passages of scriptures. But it says, Proverbs 16, verse number 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, what is it? Happy is he. I'm just preaching you today to tell you how to be happy. I want you to be happy, but I want you to find it in a biblical way. And the way to do that is, number one, to learn his ways, and number two, learn to trust him. No matter what you're going through, he will deliver. He will direct you. He is the answer. Trust him. Number three, back in our text in Psalm 144, if you want to be happy, number three, learn his mercy. Learn his mercy. In verse number 3 says, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? You know what the psalmist is saying here, David? Who am I? Why would God care for us so much? My favorite chapter in the Bible is Psalm chapter number 40. It ends, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. You know, we don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his goodness. We don't deserve all these things. But God is a merciful God. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? We don't deserve that. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? And when we learn the mercy of God, I promise you this, if you did nothing else today but sit here and you came this morning and fell on your knees and thanked God for his mercy and started counting the ways that he's been merciful, you'd leave happy today. We get down and depressed when we forget what a merciful God that we have. He loves us. Look at this passage in Proverbs chapter 14 real quick. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 21. Proverbs 14 and verse number 21 simply says this. These are close, so we can turn back and forth. It says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. So why would you read that verse? Because when you fully get a hold of the mercy of God, you can't help but share that same kind of mercy with others as well. It will begin to change you. And you know what it ends up? You're happy. You want to be happy today? Learn to trust. You want to be happy today? Learn his ways. Learn to have mercy. It starts by, number one, realizing the great mercy of God and then allowing that mercy to flow through you. There's happiness there. Back in our text in verse number 4, learn to endure. Learn to endure. It says, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down and touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Now, what's the psalmist? He's praying because there are those who are persecuting him, those who are against them. We know from the Word of God that all that live godly shall suffer persecution. There's going to be times that we're going to have to endure. There's going to be tribulations, there's going to be trials, and maybe you find yourself in the midst of a trial. That is part of life. I understand it, but look at me. You don't have to lose your joy in the midst of a trial. Because what God is doing, and I talked about it other times, but God will allow things in our life because he is perfecting us, he is building us. As we preached on this past Thursday night, sometimes there seems to be a delay in an answer, sometimes to a prayer. But God is anxious to answer that prayer. He wants to answer a prayer in the will of God. Why the delay? Because he is perfecting our faith. And it's good to endure. Look at, there's two verses I want you to see. So turn there towards the back of your Bible in 1 Peter chapter number 3. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, real quick this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 14. 1 Peter 3 and in verse number 14 simply says this. 1 Peter 3, verse number 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You know, we always, our first thought is to look at that and say, well, I'm standing for God, so I'm suffering for it, and the Lord's telling us to be happy. And that is the absolute truth. Amen to that. But it might be that we're going through something and suffering for righteousness' sake, not because we are taking a stand, but because we need to take a stand. And God is perfecting us and help us to learn righteousness. We should be happy. If that in such a case, in chapter 4, in verse number 14, says this, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So there's sometimes that you will have to suffer. There's sometimes you're going to have to endure. But if we'll learn from that or do it for righteousness' sake, you can be happy. Happy as the people does in such a case. So if you're going through something today, I encourage you today, trust the Lord. Learn his ways. Thank him for his mercy. And endure. And be happy. I'm not saying we're going to love things that we go through. But I am saying we have a God that we can trust to see us through. Amen. And he will help us. Number 5, if you want to be happy today, back in our text. Number 5, learn to be corrected. Learn to be corrected. Verse number 7, send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. You know, sometimes we can get ourselves in a mess, can't we? I can. And I know you can too. Because we're all human. Sometimes we can get ourselves in a place to be wonder, how did we ever get here? But praise the Lord, he delivers. Again, Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Aren't you thankful that the hand of God can reach us no matter how far we fall? And today, if you want to be happy, learn to be corrected. That may sound like something simple, but I've dealt with children enough, my own, and obviously 20 plus years with school and children's ministries, that when a child receives correction and they receive it and allow it to work in their life, the end result is joy on everyone's part. But that child, young person, or adult, whoever it is, that doesn't want correction and pushes it away, always leads in hurt and bitterness and destruction. It's always a result of pride. And a lot of times we think not receiving correction, we think of some little kid in the principal's office. Or we think of someone involved in some wicked, wicked sin, and someone goes and tries to deliver them. Or a lost sinner that doesn't want to get saved. And we think, yep, there they are, not receiving correction. Can I say that applies to every one of us? Because there'll be things taught and preached and shown from the Word of God. And listen to me, if it is something in our life, don't say, well, that's not a big deal there. Because the more you push away correction, the less happy you're going to be. Brother Ben, Job 5:17. We need to learn to receive correction. A verse to show you that in Job chapter 5, verse number 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. If you're in sin today and God is correcting you, the Word of God is correcting you, or someone who loves you, a brother and sister in Christ, is trying to correct you, receive that correction. Because there's happiness there. Joy can be restored. Number six, if we want to be happy today, back in our text, in verse number 8, learn the truth. Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. There's a lot of lies out there, isn't there? There's a lot of people speaking lies out there. There's a whole lot of deception out there. How do we know the truth? How do we know what is right? It's the Word of God. But we got to get in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29, verse 17 and 18. Proverbs 29, verse 17 and 18 says, correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Now, in verse number 18, we use this verse this year. It's a theme, I'm sure, in front of a lot of churches. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we use that verse all the time to talk about a vision for lost souls. And it's, amen, that's a great application, but it's not the context. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But, so here's the converse to that. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now that verse is used to apply to a lot of conferences and a lot of things, and I'm not against that. But in context, what this book is saying is this. If you don't keep this book in front of you, if you don't know the truth, if you don't have a vision in front of you of what is right, people are going to perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But if you keep this in front of you and you apply it in your life, there's joy. You want to be happy today? I want you to be happy today. Get in this book. I know I say it all the time, preach on it all the time, mission it all the time. The child of God, you ought to have a pen in your hand, a something to write on, and your Bible open every time the preaching starts. Say, why? You're listening for what God wants you to learn. Student of the Word of God. I teach high school classes. If I get up and teach and no one ever writes nothing down and no one ever underlines nothing and no one ever, you know how much I know they're learning as a teacher? Very little. they're the ones that always come up to me, can we have a study guide? I've been doing it for the last 2 weeks. But they don't pay attention. They don't write down any notes. They don't underline in their book. They don't ever... You say, well, shame on those children. We should do the same in church. Are we expecting to hear from the Lord? Learn the truth. You say, I thought this was a happy sermon. This is what the Bible says, how you're happy. Amen. Smile. Amen. I noticed Becky smiling. I can't see her, but I know she is, right? Yeah, right? Yes. No, have joy. That's the truth. Number 7, verse number 9. Learn to share Christ. If you want to be happy, learn to share him. Verse number 9, back in our text. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Learn to share him. Learn to sing about him, talk about him. Don't be ashamed of him. Because when we share Christ, when we open our mouth, I can't tell you how many times, and you may look at me like I'm evil, and I am, I admit it, but I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a nursing home service not wanting to go. I was tired, I was busy, had a lot to do. I can't tell how many times when we were able, before all this happened on Wednesday nights in the summer, to go on visitation, I would have rather gone home. My flesh. My wicked flesh. Can't tell you how many times on Saturday mornings I would rather have stayed in the bed. I'd rather have, you know, say, well, I've got to mow the grass, I've got to do this, and I had this agenda. I can't tell you how many times I've been miserable going into an outreach like that. But I have never in my 45 plus years of existence, I have never gone soul winning. I have never gone to the nursing home. I have never rode the bus. I have never preached that I've not come back thankful for the opportunity to tell someone about Christ. God always gives you joy when you share him. There's a whole lot of miserable Christians out there, and I'll tell you why. They never tell anybody else about Christ. Because I promise there's happiness there. Look at a few verses. Romans chapter number 14. Look at this real quick. Romans 14 and verse 22. Brother Ben, I'll give you Acts 26 too. All right? We'll look at Romans 14, 22. Romans chapter 14. Taking advantage for time's sake. Brother Souza up there. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 22. Look what it says here. Romans 14, 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now, what's the context here? I just read the verse. But the context here is this. If you're living a life and doing things that may be against God, or that may not be glorifying to him, your spirit will condemn that. But if you're living a life that brings glory to God, the next verse says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, what's Paul talking about in this passage of Scripture? That there's some things that as a Christian you just shouldn't do for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That if it would hurt the cause of Christ, you stay away from it. Or if something in your spirit says, I might not should do this, and there's great doubt there, then stay away from it. Amen? If Jesus couldn't go to your house and turn on your radio, there's something wrong. If the pastor couldn't walk over to your house and open the refrigerator and get something to drink, there's something wrong. If I say, can I borrow your car, and you first need to go clean out some things, there's something wrong. Because who cares about Travis Burke? There's a God who already knows. And if there's doubt there and concern there, you're not walking confidently. That's what that verse is saying. You're not walking confidently. And now look at me. If you're not walking confidently before God, guess what else I can tell you? You're not happy. Matter of fact, in this point while I'm preaching on it, you're quite miserable. Because happy is the people that is in such a case. So you'll walk confidently, Brother Ben, Acts 26, verse number 2. You'll witness continually. It says there, Paul said this, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. So this made Paul happy. Isn't that great? Because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. And he spent the whole chapter there in Acts 26 telling him about Jesus Christ and the difference Jesus made in his life, and how Paul God made the change in Paul, and how that Agrippa could be saved as well. That made Paul happy. And it will make you happy too. By the way, Agrippa went away sad. The end of that conversation, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he wouldn't let go of his position and his powers and other riches. And if King Agrippa, and listen to me, King Agrippa will live forever, and he's in hell. Unless something happened that we don't have scripture for. He's in hell, and today if we could lift up in some way, peek into hell. King Agrippa! Any word to share? He'd tell everybody in this auditorium, if you don't know Jesus Christ, don't be a fool like me. Say yes to Jesus today. If you want to be happy, learn to share him. If you want to be happy, back in our text, number 8, almost done. Learn the importance of godly rearing of your children. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I know I don't have fancy points today, but I'm just preaching through the text. Verse number 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. It goes on to talk about our garners may be full, the oxen, and all the blessings of God. Learn the importance of rearing our children correctly. Brother Ben, can you do Psalm 127? We'll do verse 4 and 5. It says it in the same way, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Verse number 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak the enemies in the gate. Happy is the people that is in such a case. John said it in 3 John in verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I know, I believe in the free will of man. And I know I cannot make my children choose to serve God every day in their life. But I can one day stand before God and say, I did my best. And I trained them, and I told them, and I taught them. And I corrected them. Happy is the people. And I'm just telling you kids something real quick. Tell my own kids. I don't know if any's in here. Different ministries, and Alex is down at Hope. But I'll just tell you, there's no greater joy in my life. And there will be no greater joy that I could ever experience than to see if my children go on and serve the Lord. I desperately want that. I know there's some that maybe your children have gone on, they're doing something for the Lord, and you would stand today and testify, what a joy. What a joy. Happy is the people that is in such a case. We'll close. We're done. Number 9, you want to be happy today. Verse number 15, happy is that people that is in such a case. Everything we've talked about, but there's one last point. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. If you want to be happy today, then may He be your Lord and Savior. Because, matter of fact, everything else we've talked about won't do you much if the last part in the summary of this chapter isn't real in your life. Is He Lord of your life? I think we all agree there's a whole lot of people out there in the world that are miserable. It's sad. You say, well, we should keep them away from us. They need what we have. We need to go talk to them. We need to go share these things with them. We need to live this kind of life in front of them. We need to tell them the truth. We need to do all these things and trust the Lord through our hard times, and because they're watching us. You know, happy is the people that's in such a case. You know what that does when we do all that? We are, anybody want to guess?
Happy.
And that's what will attract a miserable world. They'll say, what do they have? Whatever it is, it's what I need. If you're here today and you're miserable because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you give me just 2 minutes and look at me? Every one of us in this auditorium were born sinners. Prove it. No one ever teaches how to do wrong. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the Bible says not only are we all sinners, but the wages of our sin, or what we deserve for our sin, is death. That death is described in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the second death, which is the lake of fire. There is a place called hell. There's a place for all those who die without believing in Christ. It's called the lake of fire. It's forever. And I'm not here to try to scare you, but I am telling you the truth and a reality. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. But understand this, God did not make that for you. The Bible says very specifically that hell was created for the devil and his angels. He didn't make it for you. Matter of fact, there had to come a point throughout time that hell had to enlarge itself, because it wasn't God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So what is that, preacher? It's knowing these facts, that number one, the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 describes the gospel as this. Ready? I'm down to my last minute. The gospel is simply this. That yes, we're sinners, but Christ died for us. He who knew no sin, that's why Jesus came. At Christmas, everyone talks about the manger and the baby Jesus. He didn't come for us to remember him in a manger. He came to die. He came, the wages of our sin is death, and he did something that no one else could do. He paid the penalty for our sin. He's the only one that could do that, because he's the only one that's ever walked on this earth that it wasn't a sinner. He's perfectly righteous. He is the Son of God. And when he went on the cross, all of our sin was placed upon him. He's the only one that could do it, but he paid for our sins. He met the full penalty. He not only went to a cross and suffered, but he died for us. They placed him in a tomb. If he would have stayed in that tomb, sin would have won. All we'd have today is say the wages of sin is death. It even killed Jesus. But it didn't. After he suffered for us and died for us, on the third day, he arose for us. Because he conquered death and he paid for our sins completely. He overcame death. There is no victory in sin or death, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to heaven today by, number one, yes, I am a sinner. And I deserve death. God, forgive my sins. Repent. Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me. And through repentance and faith, there is salvation. And let me tell you something. There is happiness. I've never seen one person. I have seen a lot of people get saved in my life. at altars and church services, revival services. I've seen a lot of people come to, we'll have an invitation in a second. I can't even tell you how many people I've seen walk an aisle. I've seen my grandpa bow down with them, my uncle, my father, workers, my mother. I've seen all kinds of people myself have dealt with, many, many, many. And we've bowed our head and that person has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's one thing I can tell you that happens every time. They're happy. Not only are they happy, but every child of God right with God is happy. And not only is everybody around that's right with God happy, but even in heaven, when a sinner repents, that the congregation of heaven in the presence of the angel stops and says, "Glory to God!" There's joy when a sinner repents. I want you happy today. Father, I pray that, Lord, you take this invitation. I pray